This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Scarlett noticed Cinder pulling her knees into her chest, squeezing them until her arms began to shake. Queen Lavanna is angry at my inability to adhere to a treaty between Luna and Earth that states that all lunar fugitives be apprehended and returned to Luna. Queen Lavanna made her expectations quite clear in this regard, and I failed to meet them. A strange sound escaped Cinder's throat, a squeak or a whimper, and she clamped her metal hand over her mouth to stifle it. Because of this, I feel it is my responsibility to end these attacks and prevent a full-scale war so long as it is within my power to do so. So that is what I've done, in the only way I could. His gaze pierced the back wall of the press room as if he were too mortified to look any of the journalists in the eye. I have accepted an alliance of marriage with Queen Lavanna of Luna. A shocked scream ripped from Cinder, and she launched herself to her feet. No! No! In return, Kai continued, Queen Lavanna has agreed to withhold further attacks. The wedding has been scheduled for the next full moon, the 25th day of September, to be followed immediately by Queen Lavanna's coronation as Empress of the Eastern Commonwealth. The removal of all lunar soldiers from earth and soil will begin the following day. No! Cinder screeched. Grabbing the boot off her foot, she heaved it at the screen. Idiot! You idiot! My cabinet and I will have further updates in the coming days. I will not be taking any questions tonight. Thank you. The room filled with barking questions regardless, but Kai ignored them all, slinking off the platform like a defeated general. Cinder spun away and kicked the nearest crate with her bare metal foot. He knows this was her doing, but he's still going to give her everything she wants. She is responsible for the deaths of thousands of Earthens, and now she's going to be Empress! She paced the floor, spotted the two bloodied ID chips beside Scarlet, and mercilessly stomped them to pieces, grinding them into the floor with her heel. And how long will she be satisfied with that? A month? A week? I told him she planned on using the Commonwealth as a stepping stone to wage war on the rest of Earth, and he's still going to marry her. She's going to have complete control over all of us, and it will be all his fault. Scarlet crossed her arms over her chest. It sounds to me, she said, her voice rising to compete with Cinder's, that it will be all your fault. Cinder's tirade ceased, and she gaped at Scarlet. Between them, Thorn settled his chin on his palm, as if watching a great show, though his free hand still held the shotgun aimed at Wolf's head. You know why she did this, said Scarlet, climbing to her feet despite the protests of her angry muscles. You know why she's after you. Cinder's fury simmered off. Your grandmother told you. Yes, she did. What sickens me is that you let this happen in the first place. Glowering, Cinder bent down and ripped off her other boot. Scarlet shied away, but Cinder only tossed it into a corner. What would you rather I did? Just hand myself over? Sacrifice myself in hopes that would satisfy her? It would have come to this anyway. I'm not talking about when you were arrested at the ball. I mean before that. Why haven't you done anything to stop her? People are relying on you. People think you can make a difference. And what are you doing? Running away and hiding. My grandmother didn't die so you could live as a fugitive, too much a coward to do something. I'm confused, said Thorn, raising a finger in the air. What are we talking about? Scarlet glanced at the captain. Would you stop pointing that gun at him? Thorn tossed the gun to the side and folded his hands in his lap. He doesn't even know, does he? Scarlet rounded on Cinder. You've put his life in danger, all of our lives in danger, and he doesn't even know why. It's more complicated than that. Is it? I haven't even known for a week. I found out who I was the day after the ball. when I was sitting in a jail cell preparing to be handed over to Lavanna like a trophy. So between breaking out of a prison and running from the entire Commonwealth military and trying to save your life, I haven't had much time to overthrow an entire regime. I'm sorry if I've disappointed you, but what do you want me to do? Scarlet drew back, a headache pounding at her temple. How could you not have known? Because your grandmother shipped me off to the Commonwealth without bothering to tell me. But isn't that why you were at the ball? Stars, no. You think I would have been stupid enough to face Lavanna if I'd known the truth? She hesitated. Well, I don't know. For Kai, maybe, but... She grasped her head with both hands. I don't know. I didn't know. Scarlet was suddenly dizzy from the anger, the rush of blood, the exhaustion. The only response she could form was a baffled, oh. Thorn coughed. I'm still confused. With a sigh, Cinder wilted onto a crate, staring down at her mismatched hands. She scrunched her whole face up, like preparing for a blow, and muttered, I'm Princess Selene. Thorn snorted, and they all turned to him. He blinked. What? Really? Really. The joking smile froze on his lips. A heavy silence was followed by a vibration beneath their feet, and Iko's voice. I don't compute. That makes two of us, said Thorn. Since when? Cinder shrugged. I'm sorry. I should have told you, but I didn't know if I could trust you. And I thought if I could find Michelle Benoit and have her explain some things to me, tell me how I came to be here, how I came to be this. She held up both hands before letting them fall limply in back into her lap. Then maybe I could start figuring things out. She sighed. Iko, I'm really sorry. I swear I didn't know before. Snapping his jaw shut, Thorn scratched at his chin. You're Princess Selene, he said, testing the words. The crazy cyborg girl is Princess Selene. Is your gift still intact? Wolf asked. He was sitting crookedly, trying not to put too much weight on his side. I think so, said Cinder, shifting uncomfortably. I'm still learning how to use it. She controlled one of the special operatives, said Scarlet. I saw her do it. Cinder glanced down. Only barely. I couldn't maintain control. You were able to manipulate one of the pack while JL was there? Yeah, but it was awful. I could only get to one of them, and I nearly passed out. A sharp laugh silenced her before Wolf coughed painfully. Still, an amused expression lingered on his face. And this is why Lavanna wants you. You are stronger than she is, or you could be. With practice. Cinder shook her head. You don't understand. That thaumaturge had 7 men under his control, and I could barely manage one. I'm nowhere near as strong as them. No, you don't understand, said Wolf. Each pack is ruled by a thaumaturge who controls when our animal instincts take over, when all we can think about is killing. They've manipulated our lunar gift and used it to turn us into these monsters instead, with some physical modifications. But it's all connected to our master. Most Lunars couldn't control us at all. We might as well be shells to them. And even our masters, who could control hundreds of average citizens at once, can only keep hold of a dozen or so operatives. That's why our packs are kept so small. Do you see? No, said Cinder and Thorn at once. Wolf was still smiling. Even the most talented of thaumaturges can only control a dozen operatives, 15 at the most, and this after years of genetic modifications and training. And yet you managed to take one away from his master on your first attempt? With some practice, he looked like he wanted to laugh. I would not have thought it before. But now I think Her Majesty might actually have cause to be afraid of you, Princess. Cinder flinched. Don't call me that. I am assuming, of course, you do mean to fight against her, continued Wolf, judging from your response to your Emperor's announcement. Cinder shook her head. I don't have the first idea how to... I don't know anything about being a ruler or a leader or... But plenty of people think you can stop her, said Scarlet. My grandmother died so you could have this chance. I'm not going to let her sacrifice be wasted. And I would help you, added Wolf. You could practice your abilities on me. He slumped, his body tired from sitting up for too long. Besides, if you are who you claim to be, that makes you my true queen. Therefore, you have my loyalty. Cinder shook her head and hopped off the crate again. I don't want your loyalty. Scarlet planted her hands on her hips. What do you want? I want some time to think about this and figure out what to do next without everyone yapping in my ear. Cinder stomped off toward the main corridor, every other step a loud clang as her metal foot struck the floor. When she had gone, Thorn let out a low whistle. I know. She seems a little... Crossing his eyes, he swirled both fingers around his ears. But it's really part of her charm, once you get to know her. Chapter 45. She'd had the bridge built for herself out of very special glass so that she could watch her soldiers from above. Watch them train, watch them fight, watch them adapt to their new mutations, all without being observed herself. She was intrigued now by a new pack who had just completed the genetic transformation a few days ago. They were still so young, mere boys, not one older than 12 years. They were almost precious, the way some of them stood off from the group, constantly checking the fine fur on their knuckles, bouncing back and forth on their restructed limbs, while others were already brawling and taunting one another. Making their place, choosing their hierarchy, just like the animals they were. Each thaumaturge beckoned to their assigned subjects, leading them through various formations. This, too, always fascinated her, how some of them would force the control, while others tried to seduce it from their cubs, like tender mothers. She watched the youngest faction with growing pleasure. Seven had lined up without question, leaving only one cub standing off from the rest. Crouched on all fours, he was snarling at his thaumaturge, fangs fully bared, more wolf-like than any of them. Rebellion and hatred glowed behind his golden eyes. That one would make Alpha, she could already tell. Your Majesty, she lifted her head but didn't take her eyes off the boy. Sybil? Her head thaumaturge's heels clicked on the glass floor. She detected the ruffle of fabric as Sybil bowed. Down in the cave, the cub was prowling a circle around his mistress, a young, blonde-haired girl who looked ghastly pale in her black coat. Her expression held a trace of anxiety, a tinge of doubt that she would have the mental strength to control this one. All special operatives have been temporarily relieved from their missions and returned to concealment status. We estimate 260 operative deaths. The Earthlings will notice the tattoos soon, if they haven't already. Be sure they take care to mask them well. Of course, Your Majesty. I'm afraid I also have one thaumaturge's death to report. Lavanna looked up, for a moment expecting to catch Sybil's reflection in the glass, but there was none, not in this window, not in any of the royal windows. She'd made sure of that, and yet, after all these years, she still wasn't entirely used to it. She raised an eyebrow, prompting Sybil to continue. Thaumaturge Jael. He was shot in the chest. Jael? It isn't like him to abandon his sanctuary, even in battle. One of his betas has informed me that Lynn Cinder presented herself. It seems he was attempting to apprehend her personally. Lavanna's nostrils flared, and she turned back toward the training grounds, just as the young cub lunged for his mistress. The girl screamed and fell onto her back before her entire body seized up in concentration. Even from her overlook, Lavanna could see beads of sweat forming on the girl's brow, sliding across her temple. The cub opened his mouth, teeth glinting, then hesitated. Lavanna couldn't tell what was fighting his animal instinct, the thaumaturge gasping for control, or the remnants of a lunar boy still clinging to the thoughts in his head. Jael's pack has already disbanded, except for the one beta who was found inside the Paris stronghold. I will send thaumaturge Amory to retrieve them. The cub fell off his mistress, curling into a ball on his side, trembling, whimpering, in obvious pain. Unsteady herself, the thaumaturge climbed to her feet and brushed the black regolith dust from her jacket. The regolith dust was everywhere in these caves, naturally created lava tubes that would never be clear, no matter how long they continued to develop and build within them. Lavanna hated the dust, the way it clung to her nails, her hair, and filled up her lungs. She avoided the tubes whenever she could, preferring to stay in the bright, glistening dome that housed Luna's capital and her palace. "Your Majesty," said Sybil. "No, don't send Amory," she said, her attention glued to the cub as he writhed in pain, still fighting his mistress' control, still struggling to keep his own mind, still wanting to be a little boy, not a soldier, not a monster, not a pawn. "Let Jael's pack go. The special operatives have served their purpose." Finally, the cub stopped twitching. The fine fur on his cheeks was wet with tears as he lay there panting. His mistress' gaze was fierce, as animalistic as her charges. Lavanna could almost hear the woman's orders, even though no words were being spoken, telling him to get up, to join the line, to obey her. The boy did. Moving slowly, painfully, he lifted himself up onto his slender legs and shuffled into the line, head bowed, shoulders hunched, like a scolded dog. "These soldiers are nearly ready," Lavanna said. "Their genetic modifications are complete. Their thaumaturges are prepared. The next time we strike against Earth, these men will be leading the attack, and there will be no disguising them." "Yes, Your Majesty," Sybil bowed. This time Lavanna felt the respect rolling off her as much as she heard it. "And may I also wish you my warmest congratulations on your engagement, my queen." Lavanna's left hand curled, her thumb running over the polished stone band on her finger. She always hid it in her glamour. She wasn't sure that anyone alive knew she still wore it. She herself so often forgot that it was there, but her finger was tingling tonight since Emperor Kaido's acceptance of a marriage alliance. "Thank you, Sybil. That will be all." Another bow, then the retreating footsteps. Below, the factions were beginning to disband, their training over for the day. The thaumaturges led them off through separate caves into the natural labyrinth beneath Lunar's surface. It was peculiar to watch these men and boys, these creatures that had been only an experiment in her parents' time, but had become a reality under her rule, an army faster and stronger than any other army. The intelligence of men, the instincts of wolves, the pliability of children, they made her nervous, a feeling she hadn't experienced for many years. So many Lunars, with such peculiar brainwaves, that even she could not control them all, not all at once. These beasts, these scientific creations, would never love her, not like the people of Luna loved her, not like the people of Earth would soon come to. Chapter 46. Scarlet cried for hours, curled up on the bottom bunk of her new crew quarters. Each sob pulsed through her aching muscles, but the pain only made her cry harder with the memory of it all. The adrenaline and anger and denial had fallen away while she'd been digging through the dresser and found a military uniform folded neatly in the bottom drawer. Though the American uniform was all gray and white, instead of the mix of blues found on European pilots, it still looked remarkably like the clothes her grandma had worn in her military days. She clutched the plain white T-shirt to her and cried into it for so long it was almost as soiled as the clothes she was supposed to be changing out of. Her entire body was throbbing as the tears finally began to dry up. Gasping for breath, she rolled onto her back and wiped the last streaks away with the cotton. Every time her crying had started to subside before, the words would echo in her head, "Grandmère is gone," and send her into another torrent. But the words were becoming hollow, the sting fading into numbness. Her stomach growled. Groaning, Scarlet settled a hand on top of it, wondering if she just shut her eyes and went to sleep, would her body forget that it hadn't eaten in more than a day? But as she lay there, willing the numbness to take over, her stomach rumbled again, louder. Scarlet sniffed, annoyed. Grabbing hold of the bunk overhead, she pulled herself to sitting. Her head swam with dizziness and dehydration, but she managed to stumble to the door. She heard a crash from the galley as soon as she pulled it open. Peering down the hallway, she saw Wolf hunkered over a counter, holding a tin can. Stepping into the galley's light, Scarlet saw that the can was labeled with a picture of cartoon red tomatoes. Judging from the enormous dents in its side, Wolf had been trying to open it with a meat tenderizer. He glanced up at her, and she was glad that she wasn't the only one red-faced. Why would they put food in here if they were going to make it so hard to open? She bit her lip against a weak smile, not sure if it was from pity or amusement. Did you try a can opener? At Wolf's blank expression, she stepped around the table and rifled through the top drawer. "We Earthens have all sorts of special tools like this," she said, emerging with the can opener. She clamped it around the can's lid and slowly twisted it open. Wolf's ears glowed pink as he curled back the lid and frowned down at the bright red goop. "That's not what I was expecting." "They're not farm fresh like you've become accustomed to, but we're going to have to make do." Digging through the cabinet, Scarlet cobbled together a can of olives and a jar of marinated artichoke hearts. "Here, we'll have an antipasto." She felt the lightest touch against her hair and ducked away. Wolf's hand dropped down, gripping the edge of the counter. "I'm sorry. You had your hair." Setting down the jars, Scarlet felt for the back of her hair, finding it knotted and tangled as a haystack. She shoved the olives at Wolf. "Why don't you give the can opener a try?" Mindlessly picking at the tangles, she found a fork and sat down at the long table. It had years of military personnel's initials carved into the top, reminding her of her prison cell in the opera house. Though being on the ship was immeasurably better than being stuck in that basement, the confinement of it still pressed in around her, almost suffocating. She knew that her grandma had probably been stationed on a similar ship during her time in the military. No wonder she retired to a farm, with all the sky and horizon a person could want. She hoped that Emily was still taking care of the animals. When she couldn't find any more knots, she smoothed down her hair with both hands, then twisted open the jar of artichokes. Glancing up, she saw that Wolf was still standing with the olives and tomatoes clasped in each hand. "Are you all right?" His eyes flashed. Panic, she thought, maybe fear. "Why did you bring me here?" he said. "Why didn't you just leave me?" Looking down, she speared an artichoke and watched the oil drizzle back into the jar. "I don't know. I didn't exactly stop to weigh the pros and cons." She let the artichoke heart plop back down into the marinade. "But it didn't feel right to leave you there." He turned his back on her, setting the cans on the counter, and picked up the can opener. On the third try, he managed to clip it to the olive can's lid and twist it around the edge. "Why didn't you tell me the truth," said Scarlet, "before we got to Paris?" "It wouldn't have mattered." He set the open cans on the table. "You still would have insisted on going after your grandmother. I thought I could plead your case with Jael and convince him that you were useless to us, that he should let you go. But I could only do that if I was still loyal to them." Scarlet stabbed the artichoke heart again and slipped it into her mouth. She didn't want to go over the what-ifs. She didn't want to linger on all the choices that could have ended with her and her grandmother safely back on the farm. She didn't even know if such choices had existed. Dropping her gaze, Wolf eased himself onto the bench opposite her, grimacing in pain at each movement. Settled, he picked a tomato from the can and stuffed it into his mouth. His nose crinkled. He looked like he was choking down a worm as he swallowed. Scarlet pressed her lips against a chuckle. Makes you appreciate my garden tomatoes, doesn't it? I appreciated everything you gave me. He picked up the can of olives and sniffed at them, wary of being tricked again, although I didn't deserve any of it. Scarlet bit her lip. She didn't think he was referring to the produce. Dipping her head, she dunked her fork into the can of olives Wolf was holding, managing to spear two of on its tines. They ate in silence, Wolf discovering he liked the olives and suffering through two more soppy tomatoes before Scarlet offered him an artichoke. The combination of the two, they discovered, bordered on acceptable. Some bread would be nice, Scarlet said, scanning the open shelves behind Wolf that showed mismatched plates and coffee mugs painted with the American Republic insignia. I'm so sorry. Goosebumps scattering across her arms, she dared to look at him, but he was staring at the can of tomatoes, nearly crunching it in his fists. I took you away from everything you cared about, and your grandmother. Don't, Wolf, don't do this. We can't change what happened, and you did give me that chip. You did save me from Ran. He hunched his shoulders. Half his hair was messy and wild and normal. The other half still matted down with dried blood. J.L. told me he was going to torture you. He thought it would make your grandmother talk, and I just couldn't. Scarlet shuddered, closing her eyes. I knew they would kill me when they found out, but he struggled for words, releasing a sharp breath. I think I realized that I would rather die because I betrayed them than live because I betrayed you. Scarlet wiped her oily fingers on her jeans. I was going back for you and your grandmother when I saw you being chased by Rand. My head was so jumbled I couldn't think straight. I honestly don't know if I meant to help you both or kill you. Then when Rand threw you at the statue, something just... His knuckles whitened. He shook his head, spikes of hair flailing. It doesn't matter. I was too late. You saved me. You wouldn't have needed saving if it wasn't for me. Oh? So if you hadn't chosen to bring me to them or find out what information I had, they would have left me alone? No. If it had been anyone but you, I would be dead by now. Wolf frowned at the table. And I don't believe for a second you were coming back to kill us. No matter how much control that thaumaturge had over you, it was still you in there. You weren't going to hurt me. Wolf met her gaze, sad and bewildered. I honestly hope we never have to test that theory again, because you don't know how close I was. You still fought it. His face contorted, but she was glad when he didn't argue with her. It shouldn't have been possible to resist him like that. What they did to us, to our brains, it changed the way we think about things. Anger and violence come so quickly, but other things, it shouldn't even be possible. His hands started to move towards her, but halted halfway. He quickly withdrew, fiddling with the battered tomato label instead. Well, what if, Scarlet lifted her head, you said they control when your animal instincts will overpower your own thoughts, right? But fighting and hunting aren't the only instincts wolves have. Aren't wolves monogamous, for starters? Her cheeks started to burn, and she had to look away, scratching her fork into a set of initials. And isn't the alpha male the one who's responsible for protecting everyone, not only the pack, but his mate, too? Dropping the fork, she threw her hands into the air. I'm not saying I think you and I are after just. I know we just met, and that's... But it's not out of the question, is it, that your instincts to protect me could be as strong as your instincts to kill? She held her breath and dared to look up. Wolf was gaping at her openly, and for a second he seemed almost mortified, but then he grinned, the look warm and bewildered. Scarlet caught a glimpse of his sharp canines, her stomach flipping at the sight of them. "You could be right," he said. "That makes some sense. On Luna, we've kept so far removed from the rest of the citizenry that there's never any chance of falling..." Scarlet was glad when he started to blush, too. He scratched his ear. "Maybe that's it. Maybe JL's control worked against him, because my instincts were telling me to protect you." Scarlet attempted a nonchalant smile. "There you have it. As long as there's an alpha female nearby, you should be just fine. That shouldn't be hard to find, right?" Wolf's expression iced over, and he looked away. His tone became uneasy again. "I know you must want nothing to do with me. I don't blame you." Wolf scrunched up his shoulders and met her with an expression full of regret. "But you're the only one, Scarlet. You'll always be the only one." Her pulse fluttered. "Wolf, I know. We met less than a week ago. And in that time, I've done nothing but lie and cheat and betray you. I know. But if you give me a chance, all I want is to protect you, to be near you for as long as I'm able." Biting her lip, she reached forward, pulling his fingers away from the can. She found that the label had been shredded beneath his mindless fidgeting. "Wolf, are you asking me to be your alpha female?" He hesitated. Scarlet couldn't help it. She burst into laughter. "Oh, I'm sorry, that was mean. I know I shouldn't tease you about this." Still grinning, she made to retract her hand, but he was suddenly gripping it, refusing to relinquish the touch. "You just look so scared, like I'm going to disappear at any minute. We're stuck on a spaceship. Wolf, I'm not going anywhere." His lips twitched, his nervousness beginning to ease away, though his hand stayed tense over hers. "Alpha female," he murmured. "I sort of like that." Beaming, Scarlet gave a mild shrug. "It could grow on me." Chapter 47. Cinder lay on her back, staring up into the guts of the Rampian's engine. Only her cyborg hand moved, flipping the small, shimmering decom chip up and over her fingers, one by one. She was mesmerized by how the chip's odd material caught the lights from the motherboard on the wall and reflected them, sending rubies and emeralds twinkling across all the wires and fans and humming power converters. Mesmerized, but without really seeing them, her thoughts were stretched between thousands of miles. Earth, the Eastern Commonwealth, New Beijing and Kai, who is now engaged to Queen Lavanna. Her stomach turned, and she kept recalling the venom in his voice when he talked to her about the Queen. She tried to imagine what he was going through now. Did he have any other choice? She couldn't be sure. She wanted to say yes, that anything, war, pestilence, slavery, would be better than choosing Lavanna as empress, but she didn't know if it was true. She didn't know if he'd ever had a chance or if this decision had always been inevitable. Her thoughts turned away from Earth toward Luna, a country she didn't remember, a home she'd never known. Queen Lavanna was no doubt celebrating her victory at this moment, giving no thought to all those lives she'd just taken. Queen Lavanna, Cinder's aunt, the decom chip, click, click, clicked against her finger. "Cinder, are you in here?" Her finger stilled with the chip balanced on her pinky knuckle. "Yeah, Eiko, I'm here. Maybe next time we're on Earth you can pick up some sensors? I feel like I'm eavesdropping having the audio on all the time. It's becoming awkward." Awkward? The running lights brightened, reminding Cinder of a blush. She wondered if it was intentional. "Scarlet and Wolf are saying gushy things in the galley," Eiko said. "Normally I like gushy things, but it's different when it's real people. I prefer the net dramas." Unexpectedly, Cinder found herself smiling. "I'll do my best to get some sensors next time we're on Earth." She resumed her fiddling. The chip flipped, clacked, flipped, rolled, How are you feeling, Eco? Are you getting used to being the auto control system? Is it getting easier? Something hummed on the computer panel. The shock has worn off, but it still feels like I'm pretending to be much more powerful than I really am, and I'm going to let everyone down. It's a lot of responsibility. The yellow running lights brightened by the floor. But I did well in Paris, didn't I? You were brilliant. The temperature of the engine room spiked. I was kind of brilliant. We'd be dead if it weren't for you. Eco let off an unusually pitchy noise, one that Cinder thought might be a nervous giggle. I guess it's not so bad being the ship, you know, so long as you need me. Cinder smirked. That's very big of you. One of the engine fans slowed. That was a joke, wasn't it? Laughing, Cinder practiced spinning the chip like a top on the tip of her finger. It took a few tries before she got the hang of it and could watch it sparkle and dance without much effort. How about you? Eco said after a moment. How does it feel to be a real princess? Cinder flinched. The chip tumbled off her finger, and she barely caught it. So far, it's not nearly as fun as one would imagine. What were you saying about having too much power and responsibility and feeling like you're going to let everyone down? Because that all sounded pretty familiar. I thought that might be the case. Are you mad that I didn't tell you? A long silence followed, tying Cinder's stomach in knots. No, Eco said finally, and Cinder wished that her lie detector worked on androids or spaceships. But I'm worried. Before, I figured that Queen Lavanna would tire of searching for us, and eventually we'd be able to go home, or at least go back to Earth and live normal lives again. But that's never going to happen, is it? Cinder gulped and started flipping the chip over her fingers again. I don't think so. Click, click, click. She exhaled a long breath and flipped the chip one last time, clutching it in her fist. Lavanna's going to murder Kai after they're married. She'll be coronated as Empress, and then she'll kill him, and she'll have the entire Commonwealth under her control. After that, it will be only a matter of time before she invades the rest of the Union. She swept her hair off her forehead. At least that's what this girl told me, the Queen's programmer. She loosened her grip, suddenly afraid that her metal fist would crush the chip while she was being distracted. But I like Kai, you and of every other girl in the galaxy. Every girl? Are you finally including yourself in that count? Cinder bit her lip. She knew Eco was thinking back to all the times Cinder had teased Peony for her hopeless crush on the prince, pretending to be immune to such silliness herself. But that all seemed a long, long time ago. She could hardly remember the girl she was back then. I just know that I can't let him marry Lavanna, she said, her voice snagging. I can't let him go through with it. She held up the chip between her thumb and forefinger. Her new hand still felt too new, so clean, so untarnished. She squinted and let the electric current flow from her spine, warming up her wrist until the hand looked human, skin and bone. I concur, said Eco. So what are you going to do? Cinder gulped and let the glamour change. The flesh on her hand became metal again, not flawless titanium, but plain steel, battered with age, grime caked into the crevices, a little too small, a little too stiff. The cyborg hand she'd replaced, the one she'd always hidden, usually with heavy, work-stained cotton, once with silk. The girl she'd been back then, the one she'd always tried to keep hidden. An orange light blinked at the corner of her eye. She ignored it. I'm going to let Wolf train me. I'm going to become stronger than she is. She flipped the chip again. It was awkward at first, making sure the fingers in the illusion moved just how they were supposed to, that the joints flexed and moved at the right time. I'm going to find Dr. Erlin, and he's going to teach me how to win against her. Then I'm going to track down the girl who programmed this chip, and she's going to tell me everything she knows about Luna and its security and all the Queen's secrets. click, click, click. And then I'm going to stop hiding.